What is this?
It's 26 degrees.
What up? Welcome back to another edition of 26 Degrees. We're doing a Saturday drop this week. Due to some scheduling things, I had some technical difficulties on our regular scheduling day, and thank God, luckily, we have a bye week this week, so we don't have a preview for you this week. We're just going to kind of get into some of the state of the program. We'll talk about the Virginia loss and maybe just a little buzz around the program in general, some of the things that have been going around in general. So we're going to get into all that with y'all this morning. Thanks for tapping in. Got my boy Measy with me. Measy, what's up, bro?
Man, what's up, y'all boys? Sorry if y'all hear me in the car. I'll be home about 15 minutes. But, man, good week, man. Got a bye week. Everybody can get their minds together, you know what I'm saying? But I'll be doing good, man. I'll be doing good. How about yourself, L?
Life's all right, man. Slow week for me, thank God. I rarely get those. Kicked back this week for the most part. Just did regular gig. Only did the 40 hours this week and just kind of lamped, man. I was like, I got to recharge a little bit, bro. I woke up today, I knocked back two Bloody Marys and went back to sleep. I was like, bro, this going to be what this day is like. I ain't getting into too much action.
Those are the drinks with the tomato juice or something, right?
It's like a V8. Oh, yep.
Man.
V8 and vodka, baby. When you drink that, nobody could judge you. See, if I was drinking like just straight vodka, then it's like, oh, this is alcoholic. But if you put it with Bloody Mary mix, all of a sudden you fancy and shit. So, yeah, that was my morning. Got up and did that. I watched the Dave Chappelle special again. Genius as usual. My guy did his thing again, so I was watching that and kind of.
How was it? I heard about it.
I love it, man. It's him doing his thing again. It's just what he does. Boy's gifted. Anyways, what up, X?
What's good, fellas?
Shit.
Man,
you know, real feel general. Real
week was
kind
of long for me, man. Week was really kind of long for me. Cause we played Thursday, so it's like, you know what I'm saying? Then Friday, I had to go do the big high school game, West versus Central. Another amazing game. Then Saturday, you know what I'm saying, I was able to chill Saturday for the first week so far during football season. I just chill, catch some football games, watch a lot of good football. Obviously, you know, I poured it up. And then Sunday, watch some more football, and we got a bye week. So, you know, and this week, I think they haven't been letting the media out there this week. So, I kind of been like floating a little bit, you know what I'm saying, but know me.
That's
man.
Real.
One day I'm
gonna hey, X, who was you mentioned that West Central game. Who was the best player on the field? Two best players you saw on the field that game.
Who was the two best players on the Ruben Bain, the D lineman from Central. Two best boy. Cause my guy Tiger, the quarterback from the West, man, he stepped it up in the second half. Wesley, obviously, and Anthony Rose, the defensive back for Central. Gene, the receiver from the West, man, he was catching passes and they was tagging him. He was just hopping back up. So I made a statement.
Anthony Rose transferred there.
It's crazy, man. I'm at this high school game and they tackle way better than the college team. And it was true, because the boy was out there sticking.
Hey, that's what the problem we got now. They are trying to destroy something and missing and arm tackling. But, you know, that's another story.
Yeah, no,
hey, I think, and we're doing better.
I tell you no lie, man. I think they should have made those team go watch that game Friday night.
And just
the way that the West and Central play each other with the passing, it's an unmatched passion that they play against each other. You know what I'm saying? They know each other, man, but they don't want to lose to each other. They like, man, we can't lose to the West. We can't lose to Central. So right. They out there trying to give it their all, man. And you could see it. When you see that's the college team, it don't look like that.
Well, see, that's the thing. Like, when we go to play Florida State, that's what you're going to get. We just need that every week. You know what I mean? We need it every week. When we play Florida State, it's going to be lit. Them boys going to be locked in. It's going to be sound tackling. It's going to be some crushing hits. It's going to be all of that. And then you're going to say, what the hell? We can't put this together week in and week out. Yeah, why take these games to get up for, you know, playing just top-notch football? But it is what it is. I guess y'all want to let's go back, I guess. Let's just start with the Virginia game. And yeah, well, we got to do it. Let's recap Virginia. Heartbreaking loss. Heartbreaking, we were in it, man. You know, it you know what it was? It was the same old Miami, right? And what I mean by that is, as I tuned into the game very early on, I said, here we go again, here we go with the drop passes. Here we go with the, you know, just simple missed assignments on defense. Defense didn't start out that bad.
Beating ourselves.
Right. Yeah. A lack of playmaking, right? That was very disheartening. And I'm not asking these guys to make miracles all day and all night. But when it hits you in the hands, bro, I need you to catch that. People, you know, a lot of times people away from the game, if you only look at scores and stuff, you fail to realize that these momentum swings and how we're shooting ourselves in the foot when we're just not making a lot of the basic plays. One thing that's plagued definitely the Manny Diaz era so far is slow starts. So here we go again. Starting off, what do we have, 10, 11 yards in the first quarter?
Man, Streeter make a joke about it, but he say, man, we the fastest team to get the third down every time we get the ball. And
I tell you, listen, they ain't even no joke. I'm telling you, dude, I have no joke.
That's real talk, man.
During the Bama game, I went to take a pee and it was 7-0. I was like, what happened? Then, you know, like anytime I'm watching the Miami game, if I get up to like, okay, it's early, let me go grab a drink real quick. I come back and it's like, how are we punting already? You know, we start super slow, man. This has just got to stop. And that's on Lashley to get something put together to where we can get some momentum going early. We, you know, Manny said the fourth quarter effort was worth a W. That's true. Why don't we have a fourth quarter effort in the first quarter?
Hold on. This is what I asked y'all like 2 weeks ago, though.
He said,
yeah, go ahead, he did say it.
I may be misquoting a little bit, but general. He said the fourth quarter effort was worth a win. It meaning, oh, we played really great in the fourth quarter, and we could have won the game, and we should have won the game. I mean, I didn't have no problem kicking the field goal. Field goal should have won the game for us. But the problem is, shouldn't have never been in that position, and we constantly clawing out of these holes. That's the problem.
Man, why are we giving up 30 points to Virginia? Like,
I don't mind that because Virginia's supposed to have an explosive offense this year. My problem was their defense is trash.
Tight end didn't play neither.
That's true.
The tight end they have, he didn't play neither.
That's true. But the quarterback's pretty solid.
This is Virginia, man. We talk about Virginia. I don't want to hear about the good offense. Virginia, like, you.
True. Well, yeah, but this, I'm feeling you, right? But that's the thing. We actually, on the roll-up, we talked to a guy that's a Virginia fan. He does a podcast himself. And he was saying, you know, I say, yo, what's up with Virginia having a great offense and terrible defense? Like, that's not Virginia football. That's never been Virginia football. It's very uncharacteristic. And, you know, he just kind of got into some of the nuances of what's changed. He thinks the biggest problem is them changing from the 3-4 to, you know, the 3-3-5 shit or whatever. So, you know, it's happening. It is what it is. Like, I'm going to call you what you are, right? And right now, they're a good offensive team, even though they can't run the ball. They can pitch the ball all over the place. And so I was prepared for them to get some points. But where were our points? Again, where were our points? Part of that.
Go ahead. This is why I asked y'all, I think it was 2 weeks ago, if we're starting to move too fast. Like, our possessions, especially in the first quarter, are like, they seem like they're 30 seconds long. Like, that's crazy. Like, our possessions, when we go three and out, we're on the field for like 45 seconds. like slow down.
Right.
Slow down if we're not moving the ball. Slow down and, like, breathe. Get the offense together.
Well, I mean, I feel you, but then who are you?
Yeah, like, we don't have. That's we what don't you want to do.
Yeah, we don't. Right. Who are you?
Yeah, we don't know if we're going to run. We don't know if we're going to pass. So right now, it's like, it almost seemed like Leslie experimenting out there. Like, okay, yeah, let me just call and see if this works. If this don't work, we'll go see if this works. If this don't work, man, we'll punt the ball and figure it out again later.
Let me ask y'all this, and I'll let you go first, Measy. What's the biggest problem with this offense right now in your mind?
There's a lot of problems, but the biggest problem, it got to be the offensive line. I'm thinking it has to be the offensive line. Either the offensive line or, like y'all said, we don't have an identity. But we don't have an identity because we can't do stuff right. So my take, it has to be the offensive line. We can't run the ball. Quarterback's getting blasted. Like, it got to be the offensive line to me.
Yeah, I'll agree. That was going to be my answer as well. And that's why we struggle to find an identity. We're still mixing and matching the line, trying to make things happen, right? So we go out against these teams, and we're shuffling lineups. We're not getting consistent play up front, you know. And then, great example, right? The first half, part of that would have been, you know, against Virginia. Part of that would have been on Van Dyke being a freshman, getting his first ACC start. He probably held the ball a couple of times, sailed the ball a few times. And that's fine. I was okay with that. I knew the young guy was going to need to get in there and get adjusted. But the O-line didn't do him any favors. And then, like I've been saying about this team, we're schizophrenic. Because the second half, I saw a different O-line. I saw a much better blocking O-line. And what do you know? Wow, here we go. We got a chance to put this thing together, pull it back out, and get this win. It's been so much inconsistency. But, yeah, I think that's the problem. My biggest issue is up front. And it's hard for a coordinator to put the identity together when he can't trust his line. He doesn't know what kind of line he's got. These guys are, you know, like I said, they're up a moment, down a moment. It just hasn't been consistent enough. Like, and we haven't played elite at all, but we have played solid in stretches.
So the problem really Lashley then, if it's the old line, because I mean, it's hard to mask that. It's without bad our old line is, it's hard to mask that.
Could be. I mean, I felt like some of, you know, this is a problem I had with this team in general, and this is why so many of us as a fan base are calling for a coaching regime change, is because regression. I've seen regression across the board in a lot of positions. Like, I went out there and lied on this team because the O-line regressed. I don't know why. It should have progressed. Instead, I see regression. So that was the main reason I really thought we were going to have a good season. And now I'm like, well, this is why we're not having a good season, because this O-line isn't getting it put together. X, what would you say is probably the biggest problem on the offense?
I mean, okay, both of you guys touched on the O-line. I guess I would say consistency. Like, when Lashley came, we thought he was going to come and we're going to speed up the process with plays. All it takes for you to get your plays and get the momentum going is to gain, you know what I'm saying, a few positive yards. Even if you gain two, that's 2 yards that you don't need for a first down. But the offense could keep going fast. We're not doing that. Like, if you're going to go fast, you got to be positive. Even if it's like, okay, an RPO on the first play, oh, we got 3 yards. Okay, let's go. Come on, come on, come on. It's like they have no sense of urgency when they saying that we're going fast. So identity, man, I don't know. I don't even know what is our identity for the whole football team, let alone our offense. But I just don't know, man. A lot has to do with Lashley. I don't know if Lashley trusts. I don't know if he trusts the players, or do he just is he just that? Is he not that good of a play caller?
I'm gonna say he's not that good of a play caller. And to me, it's as simple as, all right, proof's in the pudding. It's real simple. Last year, 35 points a game, right? This year, half of that. That's simple. That means everybody just saw the film, know what you do. That's it. It's not that deep. They didn't know everything he was going to try to pull out. I mean, they went to SMU, I'm sure, and looked at some things. But De'Arik's an X factor because he's not like Shane Buechele, so you can't mimic that exactly. Because of his ability to get out of the pocket and make plays with his legs. So it's going to be a little bit different. But then once we got a year of that, everybody goes, okay, all right, we know his plays. It's not going to be that complicated. And, some of the film breakdown I've seen has shown like where he's been obvious. Where it's like, okay, you're telegraphing this. And this is from people who, you know, like, just do this as part. Some of these people, like, just do this as a hobby. You know what I mean? And they're calling it out. They're football fans, but they also showing you how and why what they're saying makes sense. Like, shout out 365 Kane's Info. A dude does great film breakdown, man. And he'll show you, like, okay, this is how you know this is in the RPO. Simple stuff like hash alignment. Now, the average football fan ain't going to know all that stuff until they, you know, unless they want to take and do the extra work and find those type of things. But you think a defensive coordinator don't know that stuff? He's not translating that to his team and saying, hey, if they line out right there, it's a dive play. It's whatever. You know, you can't be that as an offensive coordinator. You can't be that obvious. You got to trick them some kind of way.
He was real obvious because even in Atlanta against Bama, couple of, you know what I'm saying, the Bama people I know, man, the homies and stuff, they like, man, look, we knew exactly everything y'all was getting ready to call on offense and defense. And I'm like, it's not the first time I heard that. I'm hearing that from other teams too. Like, wow, like,
right.
Okay, this can't be this obvious, but it is.
And that goes back to Rick. That goes back to the Rick era. I thought we were solving that. And this is what people get mad at me, but like, I don't really, like, take it with a grain of salt. This is why I be saying I feel sorry for Manny, because Manny ain't asked for the job, but he got it, and he should have took it. I would have took it too, shit. But he keep trying to change shit, and he thought he had the guy because, hey, we got 35 points a game now. Now you look this year, getting half that. He going, God damn. What do I do now? Fire another guy? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, I mean, but at some point, he got to be like, okay, well, I'm the guy whose defense was top three in the nation in 2018. Come on, let's go. The defense got to rely on me. So, but his defense is they saying they know exactly what's coming on the defensive side now. So now it's like you don't have no identity at all, offensively or defensively. So if on offense and defense, the plays are so predictable, what do you go from there? Like, what do you do?
You lose. You go out there and you go out there and I mean, that's as simple as that for me. When I remember just playing video games, and I used to kick my boy ass in NCAA, but he started figuring my plays out. And then I had to keep changing my plays. Next thing you know, he got good and he started beating me more and more. It was because I wasn't running but a handful of plays, but he couldn't stop them at first. So
and then by saying that, I'm a rebuttal would say, even if you know my plays, you know what I'm saying? I think I could draw these plays up enough, even if you know them, that they're going to be successful.
Yeah. And then that's where it comes in, players, when they're there, not making the plays. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. That's when you
see. But see, okay, like you just said, players making the plays, but it's like I don't even know if our players are accessible to make the plays? Are they making it? Are they put in the right position? It's like,
yeah, they are. And a lot of times, I'm not cutting them no. I'm not shooting them no bell. I done seen them balls hit them in the hands.
Yeah.
You gotta make that play. Yeah, that's just what it is.
You gotta catch that ball.
This is what it is. Let's stick in with the Virginia game. Let's look at that touchdown in the end zone. Buddy caught on his back. That's how you knew it was day night, number one.
Yeah,
that was ridiculous, man.
What you say, me?
That was ridiculous. Like, when I saw that, I was like, that's what happens.
I'm going to tell you the funny thing. The funny thing, because we all, we in the press box, man, and then while we watching this play happen. And when I immediately, like, oh, they finna call targeting or something, because I'm like, I thought it was a helmet that hit the floor. And I'm like, oh, yeah, no, he dropped the pass. And somebody like, nah, he caught the ball. I'm like, no, he didn't. Like, I see the ball and the helmet on the ground at the same time. But I'm like, oh, they showed the replay. I'm like, oh, my gosh, he caught this ball.
Right. Like,
and then they threw the flag on James Williams. And I was like, see, they finna call a target hit. But the flag was because he tried to swipe the ball out of the man's hand after they called a touchdown. Yes. I was like, yeah, this.
This day night. That's why we miss an easy field goal to win the game. That's the football guy speaking at that point. And that's because we allowed them to gain the confidence they needed to beat us. When we only put up 11 yards in the first quarter, they go, oh, wait a minute, we can win this shit. Next thing you know,
I still don't agree with that field goal, though, L.
I how can you disagree? It's a game winner. Easy kick. So what's the beef with it?
Because that kicker has been in that same situation this year and that same spot, and he's been tailing the same kick to the left, which is exactly what happened. And he's just a true freshman. Like, you don't not try to score the game and put a true freshman in to win the game. That's just me. I understand, okay, kick the field goal to win the game, but you have to still try to score, because what Cam Harris, after the game, he said he should have never been in that situation. And I feel like I feel like that's saying we didn't even try to score. He's a true freshman. It shouldn't have even been happening. So that's my opinion. I get what you're saying, though.
No, I see what you're saying too. I don't have a beef with people who saying we should have tried to score. Now Manny said he wasn't trying to
Manny said.
I mean, hey, I can only tell
you. Yeah,
I know. No, hold on.
I'm saying that just because of Manny.
No, but I'm going to tell you where, at watching the game, I disagreed. He said they weren't going for the field goal, but what I saw was going for the field goal. So I do agree with you there. I was like,
ran
nah,
up the middle,
y'all
two
kinda,
straight, three straight plays.
Right. You were just trying to spot it in the middle, burn the clock, and get the field goal. I don't hate that. I really don't. And I need my kicker to make his kicks, period. Should he have been? The reason he shouldn't have been in that situation is because we should have kicked Virginia ass well before then. That's the truth of the matter. It's less about him making a pressure kick. Go ahead, Max.
This is why I say Manny wasn't the guy for us, because as an alpha coach, I'm not driving the ball down there to kick no field goal. I'm going to score a touchdown. That's the alpha in me that's saying, I'm going to get this touchdown, and you just got to beat us. You got to beat us now. I'm not going to trust my true freshman kicker with 0.2, whatever seconds left. I'm not trusting it. I don't want – that's not me. As an alpha male, you saying, you got to beat us.
Right.
So that's why I said I didn't agree with him putting him in that situation.
It's not a bad concept, but guess what? If we have his brother from last year at the same position – we kicked the field goal, because guess what? The brother is experience.
Right. No, yes.
Freshman.
Right. I don't think either way is quote unquote wrong, because my bigger issue is, again, the slow starts that are putting us in these positions to where it comes to a kick, period. You got no business being down like that. You got no business with these upperclassmen out there just blowing simple plays, just dropping passes, catch the damn ball. Then next thing you know, we got an issue. Now we got to try to figure out a way to pull back in, get back in the game, and win this thing.
When I saw Romello drop that ball, I was like, is this just a whole, like, is something Likens is doing? or something he's not doing, because I didn't expect Romelo to drop that. I know he's a true freshman, but I was like, this is like
I'm not gonna make an excuse for Melo, but when that pass hit him, his head immediately turned. It like he was trying to run, so he kind of
trying to get upfield. Yeah,
yeah, trying to get upfield. That's the thing I could deal with a little. You know what
right,
I'm saying?
Right.
All of dropping the ball while you stuck in one spot.
Right. Just standing there. Drop it. You know what I mean? And those are going to be freshmen growing pains. And that's why I'm okay with it from Melo. Going back to what I was talking about, the touchdown, that should have been an interception, right? But I think it was Kitchens was in position. Or it might have been Williams.
That was Kitchens. Okay, so not making the plays.
And that's fine. He's a kid. I get it. But at least he's in position, because you know somebody else might not have been nowhere near that zip code, right?
So
that's some of play.
I ain't gonna say no number.
Right.
the one that was a touchdown where the boy caught it on his back when the guy caught it on his back.
Yeah.
That should have been a pick.
I didn't even think he was talking about that one, Errol.
That was a kid. That was Marcus Clark.
I thought you was talking about the first drive of the game or the first touchdown they had when Kitchens had the pick in the end zone. He just dropped it.
Yeah. Well, see, there you go. That's what I'm saying, though. Those are – and I said that when we were talking about – I believe it was – I don't remember if it was roll up or no cap. I think it was roll up. And I said, every game you watch, a quarterback throws two balls that should have been picked. And these guys are DBs. Sid was like, that's a lot. I was like, nah, not really. Not when you watch a game. There's usually two that hit a DB's hands and they clap their hands and go, damn, I should have had that. That happens probably twice a game. You know, maybe with your elite quarterbacks, maybe only once a game. But that's pretty common. Those are the plays we got to start making on the defensive side as well. But I'm not knocking those guys, because these are young boys putting themselves in the right spots to make the plays. And they're going to start making those plays, I believe.
How many interceptions do we have this year?
I think three.
I have to look.
Carter got one.
Flag.
James Williams got one.
I think that's it.
Yeah.
So we're not turning the ball over.
I'm about to say, turnovers. Just say turnovers all together. Like, maybe five or six.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to stat you to death because it don't really matter. We know it ain't enough. We know we're not getting the ball.
That's when Manny Diaz's defense is great, when he's getting the ball, when he's getting turnovers, and you're not getting it. So guess what? What happens when you're not getting turnovers? They drive it down the field on you.
We're not even getting fumble recoveries, man. Like, it's I don't know. This is going back to last year too.
You know, the difference between last year too is the monster defensive ends. We don't have the monster defensive ends.
We've got
some pretty solid guys outside of McLeod.
I meant in regards to turnovers, because we weren't even getting them last year.
Right, know what I'm saying. But at the same time, it didn't matter quite as much because you had a lot of guys that were with Phillips and Roche. They were still forcing some errant passes, you know, obviously getting the sacks. So, yeah, we don't necessarily need the turnovers, because we're still getting the situational football, because we're getting so much pressure. And that's Manny's whole defense predicates on the DNs. That's why this year, without the talent there, we're struggling more as a defense in general. I think I've been saying it all year. I think the defense is playing above their heads talent-wise. Like, I just don't feel like we're as talented as we have been on that side of the ball in the last few years.
Outside of linebacker, you can't replace two first round defensive ends. You can't replace defensive tackles and stuff like that. The talent is there. Like I say, outside of linebacker, the talent is there.
I feel like the talent is there as well.
And the secondary, especially that secondary.
I don't like our ends. We knew that coming in. We went and got DeAndre Johnson.
That's not a fan of that.
Right? He didn't do nothing. When Jermaine Johnson was right there, he balling.
Right there.
He would have been smoking shit in our system. Doesn't make no sense. He'd have been killing shit in our system.
Yeah, he got like seven sacks already for Florida State or something like that.
Yep. He's going first round. He's out of here.
Then you put your best two pass rushers. You got him on the bench.
Yeah. Chance Williams.
Chance Williams and Harvey. And it's like, okay, what the hell are you doing? You know what I'm saying? Then comes the turnout. You play LT against Virginia, and LT wrecks havoc. Mm-hmm. What was you doing the first four games?
Like, let me ask y'all a question about that, actually, because
the Russo effect.
I remember X, you said, oh, not to say it was something personal. You was like, no, it's him getting the plays down. He didn't get them plays down in 2 weeks. Like, you know what I mean?
Nah, what it was, what, like I say, what it was is a button was pushed, and they were like, nah, well, we got to play him now. I'm saying a button was pushed. It wasn't, let's get the plays down now. A button was pushed. And it was like, boy, you better play them. You know what I'm saying? So you see what happened. They played him, man. The man wrecked havoc. He started doing his thing on the field. And immediately you say, well, hold on. He's probably our second best defensive tackle on the team right now.
Who's the first?
I would go with Hunt.
Okay, yeah. Hey, Hunt didn't play. We had a lot of injuries, too.
He played Virginia.
Right, he didn't play, right.
But now, let me tell you, I like LT and Nesta. I like the LT and Nesta combination.
Yeah, LT gave up some big runs because him getting upfield, but he'll learn from that. But
that's the way they teach their defense. They teach their defense, right? Get upfield. It's not clogged the hole, so he'll learn, you know what I'm saying? He'll learn when he gets better, used to how the game is in college, you know what I'm saying? But he looks good out there. Like,
he didn't look nervous. He looked like he was ready to go the whole game, man.
LT is never going to be nervous. He's the real deal, so he's never going to be nervous. But as you keep getting the younger guys in, man, you keep giving them confidence, because once they get on the field, they know what they can do. They know they've been making these plays throughout their whole career. Like, getting out here on this field, you got to give them opportunity. We just got to do a better job overall together as a team. Like, man, Virginia, that game shouldn't even be in. Virginia, Michigan State, them games shouldn't even be in close. We supposed to beat the hell out of both of them.
Right. We had already scheduled those as wins. Right now, we're supposed to be 4-1. Right? That was the game plan.
4-1 going into the game, we think we could lose again. The Carolina. Right.
That was the game plan. Yeah, here
we sitting here at 2-3.
and really, let's be honest, we already penciled in at 2-4, are we not?
Gotta be.
I mean,
No, I told you I was done with positivity after last.
Yeah, we're gonna get smacked. Next week, we gonna get smacked in Chapel Hill. We can't keep it close at home with them boys.
We two and three, man. I'm at this point. I'm like, does it matter?
It does. It does. If they care, because guess what? Hate the golden, y'all boys. But all our goals are still in front of us.
Is that why Manny's still here? Y'all think?
I tell you this much.
Let me pour me a drink on that one. He said,
I got one. Go ahead. You see, I got one, bro.
Yeah, it got to be.
No, I'm going to tell you. Mac tried to get the man fired again. He fired him back in Texas, right? Last year, he said, what this motherfucker doing crawl from me? Didn't I fire your ass?
I heard you say that on a roll of, yeah. I was dying when you said that.
He gave it to him, right? So he gave it to him. Man, that man put up record numbers, stomped our head in. Flipped his corner, 62-26. And he's like, yo, this motherfucker back again?
Again.
Watch. All right. I think, I'm going to be honest with you. I think Mac might get him fired this week. The next weekend.
If it's an embarrassing loss,
I think it's going to be.
Or the Carolina game.
I think it's going to be too.
Yeah, it's done.
I think Sam Howell going to have a career day next week. Now, I don't want to say career day, because they're missing some wideouts and stuff, but you can start to see after that Virginia Tech game.
Yeah, but
I was just going to say that. North Carolina's starting to get it together. I think they're going to smack us next week. Man, I think they're going to kill the secondary.
For some reason, man, I don't know why I got this feeling. I feel like the team going to get up and play good. And then the following week, we play North Carolina State, and that's going to be the game that we be like, God damn, boy, fight him now.
Shit. Yeah, let me tell you, bro. We wear them black jerseys. Go ahead, y'all go find something to do.
All right.
Go find you. Yeah, go find you.
We don't wear the black. We don't wear the black wig, black jerseys away, do we?
Little Manny.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
They home jerseys.
Might as well put them black on for Manny little funeral next week, man. Yeah, might as well put them on.
Hey, don't put on nothing special, man. Just put your damn your tards on one leg at a time.
I think they're gonna smoke our secondary.
Right, what's up with the troopers?
What's up with the Corey Couch, man?
You too little.
Like, y'all saw how many? Yeah, but he looks. I mean, we know we all agree the team looks worse than last year as a whole. But like, I even saw Manny go over to him on the sideline last game. Like, these missed tackles. Like, I think he leads the team in missed tackles.
He does. People are going at him. They'll try to throw like a little swing pass to the running back to him because he's too small. He's a great coverage corner. The kid could cover really well. But if you put him in a situation where he's got to wrap these guys up, he's just not.
I don't even feel like he's covering well this year, man. Like,
it don't matter. He ain't having to cover but so well.
Okay, so
I'm telling you, I see them. I see it in games where I can tell you they're directly setting up the offense so that they can throw like a little swing over to the running back, and they know Couch not going to be able to bring them down.
First half, they did that a few times. I saw that too.
Right. It's just a size thing. He got all the heart. Just saying, he just the dude limited on his size, man. I don't think he. What is he? What is the Corey right now? 180. That sounds generous.
He might be 170. He might be 170.
Yeah, I look at him. That's generous.
Because I know he was 155 or something like that when he came in.
Right. He might be 170, bro.
And I don't think his body type allows him to get too much bigger either. Right.
That's just, I believe that's going to be his limitations just in life. He's just never going to be a guy that's going to be able to get much bigger than what he is.
What you about to say, X?
I was going to ask you both a question. By saying that the Corey Couch is in that position. Now, our 4-2, I don't even know. Like, it's 4-2-5, really. But it's not really a 4-2-5, because if it's a 4-2-5, I mean, we need to have at least 3-4 corners on the field. We only have two. And then we use our striker as a cover guy. Is Corey Couch out of position?
I think it's the way we run in the defense, man. Like, this whole our DB starting line up 7 yards back, having the striker guarding the tight ends, or like I saw one play, Corey Couch was up top and they had Steed on the tight end. Steed got smoked because he can't stick with the tight, or it was Armstrong. Now that I'm saying this, L mentioned this earlier. These offensive coordinators are like scheming against us because they know what time it is. Like, putting somebody up in the middle and in the corner. Like, our corners are guarding air, like they're guarding space when there's no one there. Like, I see a lot of times where the safeties will be guarding an area and there's no one there, but there's a player like 5 yards in front, but they won't put their hands on it. They just guard in the little area. And I think that makes our DBs look bad as well.
Well, I mean, that's Manny's shortcomings.
For instance, that drive, I was livid. That drive Virginia had right before halftime, that last drive, we guard in space. They were specifically going after Gervin Hall. Gervin Hall probably had 6 tackles that drive, and it wasn't because he was just putting his nose in there. He was just guarding air, pitch and catch the whole time down the field. We guard in space. We're not guarding anybody. We're guarding space. We're not putting our hands on anyone. The safety sees somebody 5 yards up. They're not putting their hands on them. Like,
You think that's an adjustment based on the personnel we have?
No, that's just the scheme we're running. Like, we're not even running man.
How about this? What do you think? And when we do run, man, we look more successful. I agree with you. We've been zoning a lot more. And then when I've seen us come up and just – because that's part of the problem, in my opinion, with Manny's defense and stuff, it's been a little more confusion. I think one of the problems is you go back and look at the games when we man up more. It's simpler for these kids. They just go, oh, I got this guy. Instead of sitting here trying to figure – all I got to worry about is him. Lock him up, do my job on him, and I'm good. But when you get out there and it's a little confusion as to where to be, you know, that's when we get picked apart you know, death by a thousand needles. You know what I mean?
Just players are definitely confused on defense. And I get it. If we don't have a playbook, as people say, with a defense, you're going to be confused. Like, especially when they go in motion.
I don't think they're confused. The defense is so simple. That's why we don't have
them. They look confused when they're in zone lining up. And then a motion, when there's a motion, I see too many players start looking at each other, pointing. The linebacker coming out, it just doesn't look.
Well, that's when the offense motion, you got to look at the safety and the linebacker because they supposed to tell you where to line up. Or, oh, that's your man. Come on, keep going. Or you stay over there, we're going to switch. I'm gonna just keep it 100 with you guys, man. We don't have no speed back there.
Does Tay make the difference when we bring him back? What, after North Carolina, or is it this week?
Yeah, nah, he got six games.
He'll be back North Carolina State.
North Carolina State. Okay. Will he be a difference maker for us?
I think so because. We see they sometimes let Gervin and they let Bubba go out there and guard one on one. They not covering nobody one on one by themselves.
So who comes out then when Tay comes?
Tay can do that because Tay is athletic and fast enough to do that.
Who comes out then? Because I honestly think they would have Gervin or James Williams, Bolden, and then have Tay in there. So who comes out? Does Stryker come out?
You'll
take it out.
They mainly got Bubba and Cam guarding one-on-one. I'm guessing Tay will be around one of them, more so with Gervin and James, because they like Gervin and James to be back a lot. But you see the Virginia game, they was bringing James up a lot. James was in the box.
Yeah, his nose down there. Yeah, he was blitzing. I think once you get Tay, I think Tay will cover the slot a lot as well.
Yeah.
I think he's got the athletic ability.
He can run like right. a cornerback. So,
Who comes out then?
Man, Tay, don't let me call out the numbers. I'll call it for you.
But they're not going to do that. That's what I'm saying. I don't think they're going to do that.
Well, I think it solves some of the couch issues, right? Because like I said, a lot of times couches in the slot, they'll swing it to these backs and make him miss, right? Knowing he can't make the tackle. I think you put Tay in that position, and you're not gonna be able to get that off as much. Look at him. He's a much bigger physical specimen. He likes to hit. That's his shit, right? So it will. I think he will change that quite a bit. To be honest with you,
the problem is 26.
Yeah, that's but 26 has been relegated to rotation at this point. Anyways, James Williams is eating them snaps. I mean, he's still out there.
They're starting to get even a little.
Yeah, he's moving to the back. I promise you.
Did y'all see 26 overrun that? Oh my gosh, man!
Did you look at the whole play now?
I watched that play 100 times.
Of course, 26 did bad, but if you looked at the whole play,
11 looks stupid.
The other guy, like they was blocking him, and like he just.
Hey, come on. Froze up on us for a second.
It started with 11, though. The angle 11 took, and I don't know. I had high hopes for Corey Flagg, but that's another thing.
I think Flagg's playing okay.
He's playing the best of the linebackers right now.
Right. That's just where the deficiencies are. The problem is he's playing okay, and nobody else can play as good or better than him at linebacker. That's
Keontra back practicing, right? I saw Keontra back practicing. Keontra, he back practicing.
Is he back? Yes.
Yeah. He's still not going to be ready. Still not. Probably going to be ready to maybe after North Carolina State. Maybe. You know what I'm saying?
Right, so there you go.
We got blessed, but it wasn't serious for him. You know what I'm saying? Because it could have been worse. But we got blessed, but it's not that worse. But he'll be back. I don't know why Sam Brooks ain't played that whole game. Like, he should have been in the game a lot, man, because Sam Brooks is our fastest physical, most physical.
Right. Earlier I spoke about how I feel sorry for Manny, right? Well, let me tell you why I don't feel sorry for Manny. Our biggest weakness is linebacker. Well, Manny been there since 2016. So the fact that our linebacker room is mid, that's all him. If it's mid. Because there's two things.
It's not even mid, Larrion.
Well, or is he just unable to develop these guys?
He can't recruit them neither.
Well, no. Avery Huff was highly recruited. Avery Huff was a high-ranked kid.
How many four? All right, since Manny's been there, how many four stars has he brought in?
We're not gonna get into the star thing. We're not gonna get into the star.
No,
thing.
I understand that, but I understand the star thing can get overrated at times. I understand that, but at the same time, since Manny's been there, he's brought in. Trust me, I understand the star thing, X. He's been there, he's brought in one.
What has been his top linebacker? And we're not going to add Shaq, Mike Pitney, or McLeod because they was there before Manny.
Right, before he got there. Those his best ones, yeah.
So, without them.
Right. No, I agree. Yeah, I know the point he's making. That's the point I was making.
Who has been Manny Diaz's top linebacker recruit that Huff? He's got?
Yeah, Huff.
Right? And where's Huff?
You got
down Huff on the field.
You got Huff. You got Sam Brooks. You got Wilder.
The only reason I don't want to add Sam Brooks to that because he wasn't a line. He was a DN basically.
But listen to where I'm finna go with this. The names I'm calling now are the guys who he want to play linebacker though.
And they're not playing linebacker.
Huff so that's
safety,
my point.
Huff played safety and linebacker in high school.
He's not recruiting him good enough.
Safety and linebacker in high school.
So he's not recruiting him good enough, and he's not developing him good enough.
Brooks played defensive end. Tyler Johnson, the linebacker that we just got, Jaquan Brother played defensive end.
Hey,
what's the guy who came from Georgia?
Thomas Davis.
Thomas Davis played defensive end.
But who's really coaching the linebackers though? That's the thing. Hey,
that's the question I've been asking for the last. But
and see, that's another thing. We put this on Manny. It is on Manny at the same time. But is Manny really? How is Manny bringing in a lot of these DNs, and he's not the main ones coaching them? Like, if you bring a DN and pay them that linebacker, you have to coach them almost harder than the linebackers you that naturally played that in high school because they're learning a new position. And I don't think he's even really coaching them. I think it's Packy or I don't know. I mean,
man, look, last year and the year before, what was our defensive coordinator last year? I forget his name so fast.
Blake Baker
told us in the press that Florida, South Florida didn't have the type of linebackers we needed. And that's why we recruit athletic defensive ends to turn them into linebackers. When he said that, I was like, man, you don't get this motherfucker out here. Like, what? Florida, South Florida, at that. We don't got what?
He just done a horrible job at it. And that's why I say, that's why I have no sympathy for it. That's what it is. No sympathy.
Guess who's starting at Maryland? I watched a game last week. Guess who's starting at Maryland at linebacker?
Ruben.
You already know Hippolyte. Mm-hmm. Hippolyte.
Oh, yeah.
Where did Jermaine Eifert go? Oregon. We got the linebackers. We're not getting them. That's why I was bringing up that. And those weren't even four stars. So I understand X about the star thing. I'm just saying if Manny's a linebacker coach.
Both of them was four stars. Both of them was four stars.
Okay, yeah. Okay. It depends where you look. Okay. Because 247 on a composite would have them at one thing. You know how that how that goes, but
they're four star on one of them, they're four star.
All I know is both of them boys getting playing times on some winning teams right now. My point, the thing when I said
don't do the star thing is because what difference does it make if you're gonna just recruit defensive ends and try to make them to the linebackers?
So why do you think he does that, X? And I want your opinion too, L. Why do you think he does that?
I don't even know. I'm scratching my head. Like, why do I want a defensive end who sticks his hand in the dirt to come play Mike linebacker for me?
Okay, I'll tell you why I think he does it. The reason I think he does it, not that I agree with this at all, is linebacker's an attitude, right? Linebacker has to be he got to want to mix it up. He got to want to hit somebody, hurt somebody, right? But he also has to be super instinctual. And that's where he has things fucked up, right? So he's getting guys that want to mix it up, that want to get in there, that want to, like, pop somebody. But they may not have the instincts, which is what you're hearing about some of his guys. But those are his guys. You know, they don't know where to be. So it's like, well, bro, you the one brought him in. So you should be teaching them that. And that's why he's made a big mistake there is I really believe linebacker is just it's just a natural position that you just got it. You got it upstairs between the ears, and you have it in your personality that I could diagnose this shit and watch this. I'm about to knock somebody's head off.
Okay, so by you saying everything you just said, you said they got it. You know, a linebacker has to have that type of attitude. How rare is it that you see a defensive end with the same attitude as a linebacker?
I think a big problem is.
I mean, I don't know. We could go from NFL all the way down to college.
No, it's different. Point in case. I agree. That's my point.
You know what I'm saying? You know. Yesterday I tweeted out you know, they going crazy about the fights and all that. And I tweeted, I said, man, y'all acting like fights or something new. I'm saying y'all act like I forgot about Nate Webster. And everybody immediately was like, man, that Nate Webster was something else. That man was crazy. I say, but what? When he played on the field, his attitude spoke on the field. Like, he was head hunts knocking out, like, attitude,
right?
You ain't getting that type of attitude from no defensive end. I haven't seen it. Maybe somebody else might know something different or seen something, but I haven't seen it.
Well, I guarantee you that some, but that's just not the nature of the beast. The nature of the beast is different.
Do you think, let me get y'all take on this. Do you think him trying to convert these DNs to linebackers, do you think that has, because he's doing it the wrong way. He's going about this the wrong way with that position, them two positions. Do you think him not playing football in his life has something to do with it? Because he came up under.
He played football, though. He played in high school. He played at, I think, Miami Country Day. Somehow they say he made all date and all that crap, but.
So I heard he's played football like in high school two, three years, but he didn't come up playing football. And I guess what I'm trying to ask is, where is he getting this from? Because he came up under, what's his name at Florida State? Chuck Amato at Florida State. He came up, he was with Mack Brown. Chuck Amato and them didn't do that. So where is he getting this from?
I mean, what he's, okay, I can see what he, I see what he's.
But you're saying he's trying to be modern, but who's doing that? No, the people he came up under, who he learned the game from coaching, they didn't do that. No, and when you say trying to be, go ahead.
What you're failing to realize, what he's seeing is he's looking at the athlete. He's looking at Sam Brooks and saying, man, you know, Sam Brooks runs a 4.445. And he's not big enough to be a defensive end. So maybe let me convert him into a linebacker where we could utilize his speed to run sideline to sideline. That's what he's thinking.
So you think he's going more off of analytics, kind of?
Yeah, he's thinking like he's thinking about what can we create? What can we create? We can create.
Right, it's right player, wrong system. So Brooks should probably be a 3-4 outside linebacker, which is essentially a stand-up defensive end.
I said this 2 years ago. I could get that. I can get that. If we run a 3-4, I can get that. I mean, Jalen Phillips, before we brought him, he was playing outside linebacker at UCLA. He was a 3-4. Like, he can excel during that. But
that wasn't his natural position either, though.
In high school, he was doing both. Like, I could see
Jalen. High school, he had his hand in the dirt. You know what I'm saying?
But in high school, I saw too. I remember his film. I thought he would line up at 3-4 on the outside too, because he was athletic enough. But
well, yeah, at that point, he probably was athletic enough. Yeah,
right. But when school. But our problem is, you're trying to put an athletic Sam Brooks running a 4.45 at DN, but you're trying to put him in the middle of the field. Mm-hmm. You're not putting him on the outside where he could go out and rush the quarterback and stuff. You have him in the middle. That middle linebacker and outside, that's two different games. You know what I mean? And, like, we're putting these – we almost have, like, Sam Brooks guard in the middle of the field where he can excel in the 3-4, like y'all said, but we're not even putting him in the position to do that.
Sam Brooks is supposed to be – when the ball say height, Sam Brooks is supposed to be attacking that quarterback, attacking the ball. All that, they read and react, take on a blocker here, a pulling guard. That's not his.
So y'all think Diaz is thinking, all right, these DNs are fast. They can guard a tight end and the exactly running backs and all that. That's analytics, exactly right. That's stupid.
He's thinking, man, my defensive end that I'm recruiting is faster than the linebackers I'm recruiting. He's going to play linebacker.
And he's still doing this.
He's going to go guard a slot. He's going to go guard a tight end and run with the running back out of the backfield because the linebackers that I'm recruiting can't run. Oh, hey, okay.
That's exactly my point, was that right guy, wrong system. And that's why I don't feel sorry for Manny. He ain't going to shed one tear for him because this is your monster, right? This is your Frankenstein monster. So you put it together, and so ain't no crying for you. He's talking about recruiting.
I've never had pity for the guy. I didn't want the guy to be the head coach from the get-go. I remember when he got hired, I told everybody,
I remember that.
And he was like, man, why you tripping? You acting like he didn't have good defense. But we did the same thing with Randy Shannon. And when Randy Shannon got the head coach of job, what we did? We said, boy, this ain't looking good.
You would think he would learn. First off, he has no accountability, and it's hard. This is in any aspect of life. It's hard to learn when you don't have accountability because you're really never wrong when you don't have accountability. Our best defenses under him was with Shaq, Quarterman, and Pinckney. They played linebacker in high school. So why not stick to that? You understand what I'm saying?
You're making too much sense right now.
Like, why not stick to that? But
he tried it this cycle, right? He tried it this cycle, but them boys is like, eh.
They see the product, like,
so, right?
They see, so, like,
so,
I mean,
so me, Z, Ron, let me a little off topic. We might as well go off topic, but let me go right here. You just said his best linebacker who with Mike Shaq. Okay. Are we going to just go ahead and give Al Golden the credit for his recruiting job that he did?
No, I get that because he didn't bring those boys in. I don't think – I was about to say I'm about to go off topic too, but you brought it up.
You just said his best defense. His best defense was what, 2018? I think we was top three in the nation in defense. Who guys with them? Them wasn't Manny Diaz guys.
I'm gonna say something about Al Golden. Al Golden was at the wrong. He had the wrong job. Miami, that's not him. Okay, but Al Golden, Dernschut, man, just watching Manny Diaz. It's funny, like when you go back in perspective and you look at the former coaches. Like, okay, he was a bad coach from Miami, but he brought in the right players at the right positions at the same time, though. Like, Al Golden would never, he came from, you know, the up north, the linebackers and stuff. He would never bring in a DN and try to make him a linebacker because he knows that wouldn't work.
Well, he tried to make a tight end a defensive end.
Was that because of numbers, though?
He tried to make a defensive end to a defensive tackle.
He tried to take.
But hold on. I respect that more. I respect trying to make a DN into a D tackle better than trying to make a DN to a linebacker. You're on two different levels now. You can grow a little bigger and become a D tackle. People talk about Shamar Stewart. He might grow into a D tackle. I can see that, but he didn't move them to another level. He might try to switch them on the same level, like, okay, beef up some, I don't agree with that, but I mean, I could get it. But he's not gonna bring a DN in and say, "Oh, you're gonna play linebacker, son."
My point being made was once our golden players left and Manny Diaz players got in, what have we seen them do? We haven't seen the defense be good. We've seen defense go the opposite way.
Yeah.
Do y'all think Golden would still be here if he would have found a better defensive coordinator?
If he fired his homeboy at the DC, maybe.
Maybe. Too far gone to get into that. I don't talk about no damn Al Golden.
Yeah.
That's way too far back.
I just wanted to get that point off about once.
No, I agree.
Diaz hasn't been what we thought.
No, I agree. And that's why I brought that point up that kind of brought us here was that, hey, he had every opportunity to have that linebacker room together. It ain't together, and it's 100% his fault. He want to sit here and talk about it takes four classes of recruiting.
Man, come on, man.
You did. You had four classes of recruiting. This is what you presented us with.
He's had five now.
Man, he had six. He been here since 2016. So
that's what I'm saying.
Y'all say five because you don't even want to add that 16 class, but 17, 18,
yeah,
19,
so 17, 18, 19, 20.
That's what I asked. That's why I brought it up. Where is he getting this DN, the linebacker thing from? Because none of his predecessors he learned the game from did that. So where is he getting this from? Like, and he sees it's not working. Another thing is, too, say we do get Wesley Bassein. You only going to bring in two linebackers?
I mean, we only played two linebackers at the time. So.
Yeah,
so, hey, do y'all agree with the striker position? Do y'all agree with that?
Yeah, I got no problem with it.
I mean, teams
are a faster, athletic linebacker.
Teams aren't lined up in our formation and just running the ball at you every play. So you need a striker who could cover and who could tackle.
I agree. I was asking y'all 2 cents. I agree.
Right.
I agree.
I'll tell you what. The other thing I wanted to touch on is the recruiting. And X brought it up before when we were talking a couple of shows ago. All right. So this is where Manny seems to have miscalculated again. He went out and he got the class that he's got so far with 9 deep. And so far it seems like these kids are steadfast.
They starting to visit. Chris Gray's at Florida this weekend, I think. They starting to visit, low-key.
He did. Not me. That's fine.
Hey, man. Like, let
them kids I got something else to say about that, too. But go ahead, Larry.
So, what was I at? Oh, so those kids seem pretty solid. I mean, maybe a visit. I really don't trip about a visit or two. I don't think that's the worst thing on earth. Let the kids go out and have a good time. So if it's a paid weekend, they feed you, you know, hook you up with a few women, whatever. That's cool, man. Why would I knock that? But I think this was another miscalculation on his part because it seems like what he anticipated was a 4-1 record. And then that was going to recruit these blue chip guys that he's been after, these big fish.
Recruit itself.
Right. And then now we've lost Skinner.
It backfired. Skinner.
He was in the mix.
Skinner would have been a cane if we would have handled business.
Yeah, if we're 4-1, I think we might have had him. Yeah, I agree.
Man, look.
If it was three and two, we might have had him. I feel, but go ahead.
I seen Skinner at Paradise Camp, man. The way he was walking around and looking around, it just said, "Yeah, bro, I'm here. I'm coming." Then I see him at the game again on Thursday. I'm like, okay, well, you know, this is our second chance to show him that we want him here, and shit the bed twice. I mean, we shit the bed. You know what I'm saying?
And our tight ends had one catch that game
And I don't even think it's so much about the tight ends. He's looking at the overall picture of the team.
He said that today when he
committed. Like, man, I'm looking at the team. Like, it ain't just about the position. I'm looking at the team. I don't want to go to a bad team.
Yep.
Why would I come to UM when UM is a bad team right now? You know what I'm saying? So We struck out. We struck out.
Every media outlet out there is telling you the coach probably ain't going to be the coach. So he struck out on that. X, you tell me, you know, you got your ear a little closer to the streets when it comes to that type of thing. Are they aggressively going after Plan Bs at this point? Because it's a little late because they were arrogant.
Well, yeah, it's a lot of Plan Bs being in play because a lot of the A guys are still waiting. Apparently, the top dogs are still waiting to, like, maybe closer to signing day, stuff like that. But yes, I mean, they're starting to hear, yeah, coach, we looking elsewhere now, man. You know, things ain't looking up and up and over there. You know what I'm saying? Down there with y'all guys. But we're still interested. You know what I'm saying? You got an opportunity to win us right here. And we can't keep shit in the bag. You can't have a game where it look like, damn, but y'all just ain't. You know what I'm saying? So, and the crazy thing is we've had 4 weeks in a row. I'm talking about 4 weeks in a row where we had top recruits at the game.
They trying to give us every reason for them to come. They want to come. They want to come, man. But hold on. I did want to ask you this, as talking about the Skinner thing. Is it true that Skinner, because you say you was at Paradise Camp, right?
Yeah.
This was a rumor going around, and I want the people to hear this. So I heard Skinner. I believe, what's his name? Singletary was at Ohio State that same weekend, and he was FaceTiming some of the Miami players that same weekend at Paradise Camp. Is that true or not?
Yeah, it is true.
I got some couple good sources I'll be putting out, man, but I got some sources who be having foot true, in the ground
true.
Now.
It was true because it was, I was standing right by a player. I can't even say the player now.
I knew to ask it, y'all. Hey, Phil General speaking. Go ahead, X.
Yeah, I was standing right by a player, and he was like, yeah, man, well, coach, I got such and such on us. And, you know, I'm like, hold on. Man, they can do that? But, yeah, nah, yeah, Singletary was on. They FaceTime him. Like I say, man, it's a couple other names, man. Kids, they want, man, they Miami is a place that kids want to come, man. But you got to win. The kids do not want to come, and you're losing.
Anthony Lucas wants to come, I feel, but we got to give him a reason.
The kids that you don't get while they're losing, them kids who saying, man, we going there no matter what. Because we think we could be the change, you know what I'm saying? But then,
and you got to commend them for that. You do have to commend them for that. But yeah, what's really going to change it is once you get the guys that are going to come because you're winning. It's got to be a mixture. You see what I'm saying?
That just shows the brand still alive, though, too. Like, it's Miami still at the end of the day. Like, these boys still want to come. But you got to give them a reason.
Right, because their parents, you know, we joke about it all the time. You know, I don't have any kids, but I hear other UM fans be like, yeah, man, unfortunately, I'm raising these kids to be Canes. So let's say their kids turn out to be a top athlete, part of them is Cane, period. Point blank, period. That's what they know. That's their family. That's their family. Go to the game. They root for them. We talk all this shit. But we're going to be back next week to watch the game again, the bitch and moan if we have to.
Yeah, cry.
Or to say, yeah, or say, hell yeah. And then next season, we're going to be right back doing the same exact shit. So,
hey, so by you saying that, Larry, a lot of the parents, they raise their kids to be Canes and stuff like this. And this is what we got into it with Earl Little's son and then Chad Wilson, his sons. Everybody like, well, okay, well, you went and you win. Yeah, you know, they raised their kids to be Cane fans. But guess what? When it's a business decision that needs to be made, you ain't thinking about, well, we just going to go to you home. Because, nah, you like, boy, look, man, they putting players in the NFL over here. They struggling.
X and L, would y'all send y'all sons to Miami? If y'all sons was nationally recruited,
right?
X and L, would y'all saying y'all would you try to promote Miami to your sons right now? I don't know if I'm asking too much, but
I mean, I don't have kids, shit, so you know, what
I'm
saying?
No, I'm not right. Hypothetically, I don't know, no, either, I mean, but would you?
I I would push my son towards Miami. However, I would totally respect their decision to not go. I would say, you know, hey, man, that's, you could be the difference. People go to the league from everywhere. You know, I'd love you to put that orange and green on, man, and get this thing turned around. Because let's say I do have a kid, right? I'm 41. So I'd be fucking 58 years old by the time my kid could be eligible. So in 20 years, I'm still singing this same fucking song.
You look good for 41, too, Al.
Thank you, brother.
For the people.
Oh, good. Appreciate it, bro. But now, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, I would tell them that, but I would also absolutely respect their decision to go elsewhere. I'd be like, hey, man, I'd love for you to play for UM, but do it feel better.
All right, go ahead.
I don't even know how to answer.
Yeah, I want to hear eggs right now. The field general, what would you say? You down there?
If anybody know who I am, know I'm real strong on my beliefs. one thing I always said is I'm raising my son up to not be like me, but you know, same values. You know what I'm saying? So one thing I know. I wouldn't really trust my son too far away because of who I am. I know how fast my mouth, you know what I'm saying, I could pop off at any given time. You know what I'm saying? That could be wrong at the wrong city or wrong state. So I wouldn't push my son to Miami, but I'll push him and be like, boy, you know, I need you close home. You know what I'm saying? So you and Mr. Go. You and want you, let's go. You know what I'm saying? That'll be what I'll be saying.
So you do it indirectly, kind of.
Yeah, I'm gonna do it indirectly. You know what I'm saying? Because I still want to be there. You know what I'm saying? Because it's not just sending my kid off to school. No, it's, man, I really got trust issues. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. I don't know if I'm gonna send my kid off to another state where I can't have some type of control. You know what I'm saying? Or at least just be there. So, I mean, but other than that,
what about you? Easy, since you done put us in that situation. How about
man, it's funny, man. I always tell people I'm a diehard Kane. Y'all got to listen to the main show, No Cap Sundays, too. So, L, I was this, actually my dog who listened to the show. He sent me a little snippet, and Larry was like, Measy's the most negative person I ever met. I get it. I try to keep shit real, you know what I'm saying? I'm a Kane to the my bones, man. Like, I dream about these boys. Like, this is all I know. Like, my dad was a Kane. He put me on. This is all I know. I would push my kid towards Miami, just seeing him in the Miami colors and stuff. But at the same time, I want to say it depends what position he plays. Like, if my son was a linebacker, I might be like, hey, man, I'm going to love to see you. I'm going off like what both of y'all saying. I'm going to love to see you in that orange and green. Like, you know what I'm saying? You in Florida, this and that. But you make the best decision for you. If we winning, yeah, I'm going to push him. But right now, like, I'm thinking about this season. This season, I wouldn't push my kid nowhere else. If I had a kid, I wouldn't push my kid nowhere else. I wouldn't push him nowhere else, but I would want him to make the best decision for him because I don't want me to push him to Miami. And he goes to Miami, he done seen two coaches and this and that. He mad at me, this and that. But I wouldn't push him, but I would push him in certain coaching year, depending on who's the coach, I would push him. I was gonna say that would probably be
a difference maker to me because let's say that like we just hired this coach that I truly believe in, then it's different.
Right.
Cause like you could suck, but you like, nah. This coach, he the real deal. He'll get the ship righted, so it'd be different then.
So let's just say hypothetically that hires, depending on what position your son played, let's just say your son is an outstanding wide receiver or quarterback or offensive player. They hire Lane Kiffin. Do you send your son to UM?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to send him.
Hell okay. Yeah.
That's they why hired, I said it depends on what coaches are there hired, right now.
Hire Mark Stoops. Your son plays defense back. Do you send your son to UM?
Yeah.
I'll send my son to Miami if Mark Stoops was there, period. Because I believe he'll get coached up. And I believe Mark Stoops will bring in the right coach to coach him up. So, yeah, I would send him. But like I said, right now, if my son was a linebacker, I'm not going to just sit here and push on Miami, because he's watching the same games I'm watching. Like, hey, but what you seeing, I ain't seeing. Like, these boys running around.
You know, one thing we've been talking about the last couple of days about basically got the most drafted players over the last 5 years in the ACC. And that's over Clemson. You know what I'm saying? So this goes back to UM. If you go to UM, your chances of going to the NFL becomes 50%, maybe. And that's without coaching. So just imagine you get the right coaching.
I heard you and Street talking about that, X. I have something to say about that. I didn't comment or nothing. I was just listening. These NFL GMs and these scouts, Miami's a hotbed, like the biggest hotbed in the nation. These GMs and scouts, they know who these boys are in high school. I think that's a big thing nobody talks about. Like, it's not, they just don't go off of college. They know who these boys are in high school. Like, a 5-star can go to Miami and bust. He's going to get a shot somewhere because, oh, we know he was talented. He was a 5-star, this and that. Nobody talks about that. That's how I strongly feel that's very important. And so going to Miami, Miami players have a big influence in the NFL, like NFL U, this and that. I feel like that's a big thing as well. Like, you might not perform well at Miami, but if you're from Miami, somebody's going to give you a shot. That's my two cents on that. These scouts and GMs, they know who these boys are in high school. I mean, they know. That's their job. They know. They're not just looking at college, looking at high school, too. I mean, how many college players have been really good in college, but they had high school problems? They know about all that kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That word always travels. Let me ask y'all, let's transition a little bit. Let me ask y'all about the fight that allegedly did or did not happen. Right, Barry Jackson said they was out there, they was knucking and bucking, because it was some loafing on some drills, and you know, some guy, you know how that go. If you loafing on the drill, coach say, all right, you know, 17, he think he ain't got to run the drill, so I guess we'll start back over, right? All right, first off,
was that the number you think? Or are you just
no? I just threw random. Okay. Somebody would say, "Oh yeah, Steve." My bad. I wasn't even trying to call. Yeah, 43 loafing. So we'll run it back. Let's run this whole thing over. First off, do y'all believe that happened? Some people think that is not true.
I believe it happened, but that happens on every college football team. I think it got blew up because the situation that's going on in Miami. It got blew up. Miami, sorry, we 2-3. There was a fight in practice. It got blown out of proportion. Like, these boys fight all the time. Like, a fight can happen at Bama in practice this past Wednesday. We're not going to hear about anything like that. But it's Miami. And we aren't playing good. We're talking about hiring a new head coach, firing Diaz and stuff. So it got blew up. And the media wants stuff like this. That's clicks. This is clicks. This is all that, man. I think it got blew out of proportion.
Look who wrote the article. Look who wrote the first article about it.
That's what I'm saying. The media, it's the media, man. What you say, you said it off record, but so-and-so, they don't need to interview so-and-so. I'm not going to say no names or whatever, right. But the media know what they're doing, man. These are clicks. You know how many clicks they got that day? You know how many clicks they got?
Right now, I'm involved with media, and I see how this thing works. Right now, the University of Miami is a gold mine for media.
Right. That's what I'm just saying.
If you're involved in any type of sports media right now, if you write about the University of Miami, your whatever you write about, your blog is going to blow up instantly. It's just what it is. So if I go and create something, it's going to blow up just because it says the University of Miami.
Especially with what we're going through right now, you're going to get extra clicks. You're going to get clicks just bringing up Miami, period. But what we're going through, you're going to get a lot more extra clicks, man. You're going to get a lot more extra clicks. Extra clicks means more money, more traffic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It got blown out of proportion. I mean,
I'm not going to say it didn't happen. I'm not going to say it did happen. All I'm going to say is, if my teammate ain't doing what he's supposed to be doing, then we practicing that. Man, what's up?
That happens in high school. That happens in middle school. It happens in middle league.
You go hit him in the head, and he don't like it, and now y'all know, hey, that ain't no fight. Let's just say, boy, look, it's no more time for playing. You know what I'm saying? So nobody really knows what happened because no media was there. An outside source told somebody else who always gets the outside source, and they just, who knows, man?
Bama is winning.
Barry said he was there.
Man, no media was there. No media at practice at all this week.
Man, I've been following Miami so long. I know these reporters.
Yeah, I don't read Barry.
I read Barry, but I know when certain stuff happens, I attach that name to some reporters will report more when Miami's down than when they up type thing. It's all about money and clicks, man. Like, that's their job. That's their job. Go ahead.
I'll present this, and it was brought up on the roll up. The reason some people said this is a big deal, because I'm like y'all. I was like, who gives a shit? So what? They fought. Yeah, it happens all the time. Like, who gives a shit? The reason this is supposed to be a bigger deal is because it's during the season. That's supposedly a bigger deal. Is that anything to y'all? I still didn't think nothing of it.
Man, Sean Taylor and Kellen Winslow would fight during practice during the season. Why is people acting like it's such a big deal?
I don't think it's the first fight. I think they probably fought during the summer and the fall practices before the season. It's not important and doesn't mean anything because there's no record attached to the team. There's no coaching rumors, this and that. Right. But Miami's down bad, so it got blew out of proportion.
I agree. I just wanted to get y'all take on it.
It's basically, if it happens, it's basically somebody's showing accountability. Hey, man, got to get together. We 2-3. Can't be lacking. We 2-3. Nah, we weren't supposed to be 2-3. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if it happened, but
let me ask y'all a question. I kind of don't want to mention Bam because Saban has his way with the media and stuff. But say, I don't want to say Bama. All right, whatever. Say Bama had a fight in practice. And Bama's number one. You're not going to hear about it. Say Bama was 3-2 right now, and there was a fight in practice. Do you think it would get out?
No.
Why you say that? Because of the
Saban
thing?
For one, Nick Saban going to control the media.
That's why I didn't want to put Bama in it. Say Florida. Florida.
Florida the same way. Florida. Look. May be the only school who doesn't control the media.
I agree.
When something happens to a UM player, it is instantly in the news. You go to another school, something happens to a player, it's not in the news until the university wants it to come out.
Do you think that's because of the school or the area Miami?
It's because of the area. You're in Miami.
Okay, that's why I said that. That's why I asked. I agree. That's why I asked. About
Miami is going to be... Click. Hey, Miami. Click.
Yeah, it's the gift and the curse. Comes with it.
Miami's an interesting place. No matter if you're playing sports or if you're just going to work every day, stuck in traffic at 7 in the morning, Miami. It's just Miami.
Yeah, it's different.
Two, I asked y'all about the Jaren Williams thing before we came on live. If Jaren Williams did that anywhere else, the partying before the little FIU game, whatever, I don't think that makes snooze anywhere else. But Miami is out. You're in Miami. It's out.
And we stink, and we lost the FIU. So
right,
yeah,
so it's out. It's out.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, the brand is still the brand. It's gonna get attention regardless. Even if it's negative attention, it's still attention. So that is what it is on that. We don't got nobody coming up this week, so there's no preview. We'll get
to you. I want to ask y'all a question. I don't want to talk too long.
No,
we've been on an hour and 25. We talking Miami football. I did want to bring up for the people. I did want to mention, because it got real big in Miami headlines and stuff. The Devin Hester situation. What do y'all take from that?
Ain't know what I took. I been nobody.
What do y'all take from that? At first, I thought he was talking about high school, and I started looking and thinking. I'm like, he's not talking about high school. He's talking about old boy. So what do y'all?
Who's the old boy?
Talk about Randy Shannon.
Yeah,
hey, let's say his name. I know his name. What the fuck we care about Randy Shannon?
Okay. Right, yeah. I'm old boy. Go ahead.
One thing we're gonna do now. I'm gonna leave the kids alone in general. We pick on them a little bit, you know, like we said, that come with the territory. But a grown ass Randy Shannon being jealous of Devin Hester ain't some shit. I'm gonna fucking dance around and sugarcoat. That was some fuck shit. I mean, point blank. Period. One thing y'all gonna get on 26 is I'm gonna give it unfiltered. Uncut. Like I said, I protect kids because they are kids. They are, you know, young men, and I don't want to do anything or say anything that's going to be detrimental to them. But Randy done lived in this game for a long time. I never heard that before. But to hear it and to hear of Devin, and I actually ran into Devin in Orlando one time. Cool, nice, humble dude, man. He was promoting his liquor at a local liquor store, and he ain't above all of this shit, and he's had a whole NFL career. So for you to be like, oh, you think you the shit now, it's basically all Randy did. And the, you know, the shit on the kid and take him out of position to where he could have done more with his career, you know, that's fucked up, period.
I say, man, pride, man. This 26 degrees, so I'm gonna speak the truth from what I know. Pride for black
people
is our biggest downfall. We so prideful at certain situations where we shouldn't just be prideful. Why if I have a player who's this good, what?
Like, X, why? Like, why? Why?
Yeah, what's in my head to say, okay, well, I'm not gonna play you here because I want you to be humble. What type of what?
And you trying to humble somebody that's already humble, by all accounts.
And he told him, he was like, Coach, that's not me, this and that. Like, what is that about?
I just want to help the team.
Right, what is that about? But this goes all to hiring the wrong coaches, man. Shannon wasn't our first choice, this and that, but I knew we hired.
Shannon was the defensive coordinator.
I don't think he was our first.
He was the defensive coordinator.
He was. I don't think we interviewed a lot of people before Shannon, though.
Shannon was going to get the job no matter what.
Man.
Because guess what? They thought the train could keep rolling just like they did with Larry Coker.
And that ain't work.
We ain't got to go pay no big name coach, no big time of money. We could just promote Randy Shannon as a head coach.
He ain't gonna cost a lot of money. Still doing the same thing.
Hey, let's go pay that little $4 million for Manny Diaz from Temple. Hey, he ain't gonna cost a lot of money to get no big name coach.
Hey, do you think Miami be strapped with money, or do you think they still trying to get rid of that old image?
And they got the money, man. They got the money. They just don't want to spend the money on her. It's not important to them. Like Alonzo Hosmer said yesterday, it's not important to them. As long as they relevant, That's it. They just want their
game. As long as they still on ESPN on 3 o'clock, yep.
They don't care about winning no 10, 12 games. Like, man, look, our students is graduating. Everybody talking about us in the news. But we getting this money from Adidas. We good.
Yep. I just want to bring that Randy Shannon thing, because I know a lot of Kane fans were talking about that. Because that went national.
Listen. It's a whole lot I can speak of just by knowing. The phantom in me is just saying, fuck it, I don't care. I'm not gonna speak on it no more, because it's painful. It's painful, man, for what we as fans went through all these years. It's painful. It's a lot. Trust me, it's a lot. But we right now, 2021, we trying to right the wrong. We trying to get to the right position. And it's like, if the administration had as much passion as the fans had, we'll be right there.
Yeah, we far from that though. So that is what it is. Anything else?
Because I saw the Blake James comment the other day. What did y'all take from the Blake James comment? I'm not trying to talk. I'm just talking. I'm talking right now. Shoot.
What comment?
Yeah, the little statement he put out, like. Because honestly, I'd rather see him put that statement out before. Julio Frank put out a statement right before the Virginia game, and I was like, that's backwards. The AD should be putting a statement out before the president. So the president made a statement. I'm going to let you talk. But the president made a statement, and here comes Blake James. So I was like, I started thinking. Blake James might be like, hold up, my ass might be on the line. The president talking, I ain't made a statement, so now I gotta make a statement. That's all that's going on, man.
Let me go ahead and break that down. You University of Miami is in the media news media, and it's not good. It's not nothing good about it. And it's sports
national media.
It's nothing good. It's sports wise. It's not even about the school, academics, and nothing. If they just say, yeah, well, you know, your football team is just bad. They're going to be bad for a couple years unless they fire coach and get some. If they say that, guess what? It's no problem. They get on national TV and say, the University of Miami is bad. They have a bad football team. The program, the school, the administration. Who they putting the blame on now? They ain't putting the blame on Manny D. They ain't putting the blame on Blake James. They putting the blame on who?
Julio Frank. Frank was like, hold up. Let me say something.
He's saying, hold on. My name don't need to be in this. Y'all not finna put me in this. But when you put me in this, I'm going to address it, and I'm going to handle the situation. Hey, Blake James, what's going on?
Am I wrong for thinking that was backwards, though? The AD should have said something before the president.
Why would the AD say something before the president when the pressure is getting put on the president?
Because I think it should be backwards. That he put Blake James to run the athletic department. So that statement came out a week and a half went by. Blake James ain't say nothing. Ain't say nothing on his Twitter.
What do you want Blake James to say? Like, it's there. It's there. Like, it's not hidden. It's there. Everybody's ESPN brought it to light. They brought to light what all you and fans been knowing for years. Y'all don't care about this school.
I don't know. I might be wrong. It's two left shoes. I just feel like Blake James should have said something before Julio Frank said something, and here comes Blake James.
I mean, at the end of the day, man, if you, okay, you're a CEO of your company, and you got people who you hire to run your day-to-day thing. If something not going right in your company, yeah, they're going to get the memos and all that, but who they going to really blame? They're going to blame the CEO. They ain't blaming the people who running the company. They saying, boy, that's your company.
If I was a manager of a company and I was getting back, and my company was getting backlash about the people I run. And correct me if I'm wrong, I would try to say something before my boss has to say something. If my boss says something before me, I feel like I'm doing something wrong.
Well, I mean, the boss at that point, like X said, is now it's him. So now he's got to step in. Yeah, the blame is on him
now. Because it's like, if Frank basically told Blake James, okay, yeah, you run sports, and I don't really care. Just make sure to do what to do. Keep my name out of it. Now they're bringing my name in this. I have nothing. I can't do nothing but address it now. Because you brought me into it. You let them bring me into it. So now I got to say something before you say something. Guess what? Your job's on the line. Not mine. Your job's on the line.
Yeah, I just felt like Blake James should have said something before the president. Because when the president said something, I was like, okay, Blake,
He couldn't. Now look.
Why he couldn't?
If ESPN didn't blow it up as big as they did, maybe the president never says anything.
But see, to me, being an AD, I would try to address it before the president, my boss, has to speak. I would try to put a statement out. Oh, we care.
Okay, but why would you address it when, if ESPN don't say anything, it's not as big as it is? Because I just
love you. I mean, when ESPN brought, I agree. When ESPN said what they said, me being an AD, I would try to address it or put a statement out before my boss has to. Because once my boss puts a statement out, I didn't do what I had to do because I didn't put a statement out, or I'm not addressing this like I should be. Now it's on my boss. I'm over the athletic department, and my president has to say something. That's just me, though.
Well, yeah, no, you're not wrong. You're asking. It's almost like you're asking us why Blake James sucks at his job. Shit, we don't know.
And why he had to wait till his boss said something for him.
Because he sucks at his job. That's right. Because he sucks at his job. That's the truth. He sucks at his job. Well, he sucks at his job as far as getting a good product on the field athletically, right? And that's across the board. We're not good at anything athletically at the University of Miami, right? So he sucks at that. But he's good at getting money in. So he's good on that half. So it's just a matter of who cares about what. And did Frank really care? Not that much until his name got dragged into it too.
Once his name got dragged into it, now it became, I don't even want to use the word personal, but it's more.
No, it's business. It's business because he wants his name cleaned up. Like, hey, damn that. I'll fire his ass tonight if I got to now. You better get on this shit. You know?
Like you just said, LeRon, Blake James, he brings the school a lot of money financially. So right. His job security is there. You're like, hey, I just got you out of this deal over here. So it's a big money. You're worrying about football ads, whatever. You know, hey, I got another deal lined up. They finna come give us $50 million. You want to fire me? So, but when you drag somebody's name in the dirt that you're in,
do y'all think anything comes out of this, or this is just Blake James and Frank making a statement, or do you think it's...
When there's fire, somebody lit the match. It's coming. That's it.
I think it's going to be results-oriented. If he can somehow flip this season around, it'll be okay. I just don't think he will. That's the bottom line. People keep asking me that. I go, yeah, he turned the season around. He's safe. Will it happen? I wouldn't put $20.
It's not just football. It's not just football to me. It's baseball. It's basketball. Like,
no, I agree.
He's keeping Larinaga. Like, he should have been gone. The baseball program, who has four titles on their own, they're going downhill. So, do you think Frank sees that, or he's just talking?
That man don't know nothing about that shit.
So you don't think Frank knows anything about that?
Ain't none of his business. I hired a guy for that. It's none of my business, like, man, bro.
Look, you think I care about they not winning? But I got a meeting tomorrow. These investors finna come give us some money for the school.
Yeah, I'm a medical guy. I hired a guy to do that. Now, like I said, if I'm Frank's, because they dragging me into this shit, I fire his ass. Just to get my name, let them know, nah, I got a sweet gig right here, and I like it. And you ain't about to fuck this up for me. So I'd fire his ass. Yep, Blake James would have been gone the week they said that shit about me. His ass would have been gone.
You think Shalala? You think Shalala would have fired him?
That shit,
nah.
You don't think Shalala would have fired him?
That bitch ain't care about nothing but football either. Man. Yeah, means we not about digging to the shittiest past of this program.
I'm just trying to see.
We trying to get over that trauma. That was trauma.
Yeah,
no,
right?
No, I understand. I'm just trying to see if this is just keeps being repetitive. Like
it is.
It is.
And that's why I was saying, she wouldn't have fired him either. But it is what it is.
It's repetitive, man. But one thing I say, man, is it's bad when they drag you into it. You know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, you in the streets, man. You in your homeway. You know, y'all been doing dirt and stuff, Your homeboy decided to go do something without you this time and get jammed up. And then he say, well, you know, Meezy been going, you know, he like, hold on. Wait. What you mean, Meezy?
Right.
You got jammed up, not me. Oh, nah, I got to clear my name. You see what I'm saying? It's like, you don't want your name to be dragged in the dirt that somebody else put you in. So Frank is saying, hold on. We care about athletics. This guy maybe not care about athletics. And we're going to get this situation, addressed. And that's how I'm looking at it.
That's a fact. That's that. And that's why I went the way it did. But, man, we rolling up on almost damn near 2 hours. Y'all got anything else? Or we gonna wrap up and get on out of here?
Yeah, we can wrap, man. You know, man, look, We got to talk. Next week, Wednesday, my birthday. I might be.
We'll figure that out.
Wait, what day your birthday, X?
Wednesday on the 13th.
All right, my birthday on the 18th.
We'll figure it out.
Oh, yeah, boy. So
this post production.
Yeah.
So, anyways, man, thank y'all for tapping in, man. We appreciate you sitting down. I think it was a pretty good therapy session, man. I think we needed this as a group, as a fan base.
It was one of them. Let's vent right quick, man.
Let's get it out.
This was coming, though. We knew this was coming, man. It was coming.
I didn't, man. I thought this would be a different season, but
no. I mean, lately we knew.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The writing was on.
We was gonna put everything out there, man.
Absolutely. I'm glad we did it. I think it was important.
I wasn't expecting this, man. When I seen that number, that 91%. Number of returning players.
Man, that's crazy. Yeah, man. That's crazy.
I say, ain't no way we can have a bad season.
I was gonna ask another question, but man, no, we done talked. We done talked.
Nah, we getting the hell out of here.
Yeah.
We getting the hell out of here. No doubt, man. Hey, thanks for tapping in with us. We'll be back. We'll have another show for y'all. X may be out of commission. He is his birthday, so we'll see how we work.
I mean,
you know how I go.
We could do.
Yeah, we may do it Tuesday. Wednesday, we'll get
Thursday,
it figured out.
Don't matter, man.
We'll get it figured out. But hey, thanks for tuning in, man. We'll be back with y'all again each and every week. This is 26 Degrees. Thank you for fucking with us because we fuck with y'all. Peace.
We gonna let the band deal with this.
26 degrees.